Hey, you're listening to the Smoked Meat Podcast. This is your host, Brad Pittman. I've been away for a little while, taking a little hiatus, a little break. I'm going to revamp this show. Tonight, I've got a special guest. I'm sure some of you out there have heard of McCamey Manor. It's a haunted attraction in Tennessee that's very unique, unlike any other. Tonight, I have the owner and the proprietor there, Mr. Russ McCamey. I had a good talk with Russ. Some people, he's very divisive. Some people are going to love this. Some people are going to hate it. But I guarantee you'll enjoy the episode. So y'all kick back and listen. Keep listening. Share this thing. Subscribe it. Leave me reviews. Whatever you need to do. Because we got a lot of really cool stuff coming up. I think you're going to like it. But let's go on ahead and get this beast kicked off here on Smoked Meat. So how you doing today, Russ?
Doing good, thanks. Appreciate it.
Oh, man, I appreciate you coming on.
No problem.
I know this is your busy time right now. Probably everybody in the world is aggravating you because, for God's sake, you own McCamey Manor.
Yeah, a little bit. They all want a piece of the manor right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've watched some of the videos and all. I've been on the website, and, man, intense, just a little bit.
Now, for anybody out there listening, if you want to watch current videos and current tours, you need to go on Facebook and type in McCamey Manor Official, and that's the one and only official Facebook page. Everything else are hate groups and all kinds of garbage. So go to McCamey Manor Official, apply to get in, and that's where you can watch the current tours, and also you can become a contestant that way as well.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. Yeah, I've clicked on it and apparently forgot to answer the questions. So I've got to do that again. Yeah.
You got to answer all the questions. Yes, sir.
Yep. So I've got to get that done. But yeah, I've seen a lot of the old videos, and you know, from, I think you were in California then, weren't you? Most of those.
Yep, San Diego. Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Tennessee is definitely different than California, isn't it?
A little bit. Yeah, different kind of mentality out here. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, of course, I'm going to ask you some of the same questions that everybody in the world asks you, you know.
That's fine.
I know you were in the Navy for 23 years?
Yep, active duty 23 years, and then after that, another 13 years as a veterans advocate working for the VFW, helping guys who are separating from the military.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. There's not a lot out there.
No, there's not.
Yeah. And you know, people that I was never military, but you know, I tried a long time and just couldn't get in, and for health reasons, but I've been a paramedic for 32 years, but I know a lot of guys who have come out of the military, and it's a different world out here.
Sure is. Yep. Absolutely.
You know, some of them have made it and are doing great, and some of them didn't quite make it, and that it kills me. I hate it.
Yeah, it can be tough. Absolutely. The transition out of active duty into civilian life can be pretty challenging at times.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one good thing is the dark sense of humor, because as a paramedic, I've always had it too, so right. I mesh really well with veterans.
There you go.
I can find bad places.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I've listened to some shows that you've been on, and you know, you talk about haunts on the ships when you were out at sea and all that.
Yeah, that's true. I've been doing haunts my entire life. It didn't matter whether it was a one bedroom apartment someplace or, like you say, out to sea entertaining the troops. You know, I was always doing a haunt someplace. Yep.
Now, what kind of haunt were you able to do on a ship? I mean, they can get creepy anyway.
Yeah. Ships are kind of scary. And, you know, you get all the different compartments and you have all the different areas that people don't go into. And you can do some pretty fun things, actually. You can do a good haunted house on a ship. Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Yeah, we're looking at doing one out here where we're at next year. We've got 12 acres of land with a couple of outbuildings on it, and
We're wanting to get into something.
Okay. Yeah, that's plenty of land to do it. I like that.
Yeah, definitely. And it's all wooded, so a nice haunted trail would probably be really good.
Right, for sure. Good.
But yeah, and you know, for the people out there that don't understand people that put on haunts and haunted attractions and stuff, there's something about it that is so much fun. I worked at a place in Augusta down here in Georgia called Plantation Blood for a couple of years.
Gotcha.
And that was so much fun. Yeah, I didn't make anything. I made gas money. They give me gas money because I drove about 40 miles to get there.
Okay.
But that was so much fun. And the best part are the things that aren't really planned.
Right.
Because my first year I was in what they called the Redneck Swamp, which basically Larry walked through and we yeehawed and ran around them and all that.
Right.
And after that, I could come in and say, I just want to do this today. And they would let me.
Nice.
And it was so cool.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like putting on a big play every night. And
yeah, you
know, just about entertainment, just entertaining the folks. So yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, a lot of people don't like to admit it, but they love to be scared down to their bones. A lot of people do.
Yeah, that's the kind of folks I get here. I get the adrenaline junkies. I get the people that can't get scared anyplace else, and they come here because they want to feel that sensation again. You know, they like scary stuff, but they're just kind of burned out by it. So they come here to try to get their feel of getting scared.
Yeah. Yeah. From what I've seen, it works.
Oh, yeah. It works every time.
Has anyone ever came close to finishing? What's the longest anyone's ever lasted at once?
Oh, golly. Well, it comes in stages. The first thing you have to do is go through what I call boot camp. And boot camp is where I evaluate you physically and mentally to find out what you're capable of doing inside the real tour. So boot camp may last a couple hours, but that's not counted as tour time because that's just fun, silly stuff, just again, so I can find out what you're made of and where you're at mentally and physically. Because I don't want to put you into a stunt that may cause you a problem and be dangerous to you. I want to put you in things that I know you can handle. And the only way to do that is to do the little boot camp section. But after boot camp, then the real tour begins. And normally it's about 20 minutes and they're done. Sometimes a lot sooner than that.
Holy crap. I know there was one show I was listening to where there was a lady that was about to come on her 10th time.
Yeah, we get people with, you know, multiple visits. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say more people than not want to come back and do it again. That's how much fun they have. So all the folks out there think it's just so horrible and this and that. Must not be that horrible if I'm getting people coming back, you know, time after time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you know, I'm not gonna lie, when I first heard of McCamey Manor and I watched some of the videos, I had a lot of mixed feelings. I mean, I did.
Right.
So I'm thinking, holy crap, this is just torture. But at the same time, you know, everybody's signing a release and I saw where you make them read that thing aloud to you. So they know what's happening.
They know exactly what happens. It takes, and, you know, 3 hours to sign that waiver. It's 40 pages long. We go over it with a fine tooth comb. So that way everybody knows exactly what each stunt involves. They know exactly how to get out of it. They know how to be successful. They can ask questions. You know, it's very much a learning process, the waiver. It's just up to them to remember all that information when they're all stressed out. And that's hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you know, I'm a tough guy. I mean, I am, like I said, I've been a paramedic 32 years. I've done the SWAT thing. I've done a lot of different stuff.
Right.
And, nope. I'm
right,
good.
Right.
You can just go on ahead and have my milk money.
There you go. That's right. There you go. And so far, you know, if you watch that movie, if you go to McCamey Manor Presents, which is the only official YouTube channel, everything else is stolen channels, it's hack stuff, it's hate groups. McCamey Manor Presents is where the legit page is at. And there's a movie called And Then There Were None. And I made that specifically for people who are interested in taking the tour. It explains exactly how the whole show works. And then the last part of the show, the movie, it shows you everybody who's ever attempted to take the tour and how things worked out for them. Because it's important that everybody that comes here knows that they're going to fail as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want somebody having their feelings hurt because they didn't succeed, because you will not succeed. I mean, that's just the way it goes. You'll have fun. You'll have a good time. You'll be challenged. But are you going to actually beat the manor? No. Is the manor going to take your lunch and, you know, and your milk money and all that good stuff? Absolutely. It has every time. And in that movie, you'll see everybody at the very end of their tour and just what happened to them. So you know it's going to happen to you as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So just kind of say I applied today and I passed all the tests and everything. You know what you can tell me? I know you obviously can't tell me what's in the tour, because that's the fun is the surprise.
Right.
But what would the process be before and after all that?
I mean, as far as trying to get in, you mean? Or what?
I mean, well, say I finally got in. I got my I passed my physical. I passed my drug test that day.
Right.
All that good stuff.
Well,
roll up to see Russ for the first time.
So the first thing that happens is the week prior to your show, you'll be doing what we call challenges. This is before the tour. Challenges are something you do in the closed group, which is, and again, a reason why you want to watch or be a part of that special closed McKamey Manor official group, because you get to see all the fun stuff. And so the first week is nothing but challenges where the moderators work with the contestant and have them do different activities every night at 8 o'clock, and they go live and the audience can watch all these silly things. One might be a food challenge. One might be something out in public, you know, different challenges that are just entertaining and a little bit humiliating for the contestant, I expect. And, but that way we get a feel for their personality. We find a lot about them that way. We want to know everything there is about the contestant before they actually take the tour. So that happens the week prior. And then that Saturday morning, 12 o'clock, they roll up and we'll get all their supplies out of the car and we'll start the boot camp experience. And that will last as long as they either can last, or it will last, you know, it can be either long or short. They have to give it their best college try. And after boot camp, that's when the real tour begins. And there's 80 different variety of activities that they could be brought into, and it just depends upon what is their personal fears and phobias. Every tour is different. There's nothing the same. It's all based upon their individual fears and phobias. Mm-hmm. And we take it from there. And then if they get through the initial part of their first stunt, which I call them, then the clock starts. And if they can last 10 hours from there, then they can win 20. But so far, no one's even come close.
Okay. Oh, man. Yeah. So basically, you're finding out their fears and you could just kind of tailor make it to their fears.
Yeah. So we know all about their fears and phobias, you know, weeks ahead of time. That's part of the screening process. And you would think that the contestant wouldn't really tell you, but they actually do, because the people that come here want the biggest challenge they can get. So they want to be honest and upfront, and they want us to play hard with them. They want us to really challenge them. And so, you know, there may be somebody out there that tried to fool us, but we find out real quick about what's really scaring them. It's not hard to do. And then, you know, there's things like hypnosis. Everybody knows that we hypnotize people. That's in the contract. It's something that you know is going to happen. So once the hypnosis starts and once they're hypnotized, that's why the game can be over so quickly, because I can make people believe whatever I want them to. You know,
The mind is ruthless.
It is, absolutely. You know, I can put you in a kiddie pool with 3 inches of water and tell you there's a great white shark in there, and you're going to believe it. So I can really mess with him that way, even though, you know, it's just one-on-one. It's me against them. There's no other actors. Nobody's roughing you up. Nobody's laying a hand on you, nothing like that. It's just a purely psychological battle. Can they withstand what I'm going to do to them psychologically, and can they not let me get into their head? If they can keep me out of their head, they'll do good. But as you can tell by that movie, And Then There Were None, you'll see hypnosis in full effect in that movie, and you'll see that it's very difficult to get away from what I'm doing.
Yeah. Now, have you ever had anybody that couldn't be hypnotized?
Not yet. No.
Because I know I've tried twice. You know, once was one of the little stage shows, which, yeehaw, but the other one, I actually had to go to a therapist, and she tried for almost an hour, and it didn't happen.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should take the tour.
I'm good. See, I'm out, man. I've had strokes. I can't do it.
Yeah, that's true. We don't want to cause any more problems. That's true.
But yeah, darn. But yeah. But yeah, you know, you used to talk about the different video channels, different Facebook channels. You know, when I was looking online, there's a boatload of them.
And they're all hater groups, and they're all fakes. The only real page is YouTube, McCamey Manor Presents, and the only real Facebook page is McCamey Manor Official. We don't have an Instagram, we don't have TikTok, we don't have anything. So everything you see out there is just people trying to capitalize and pretending to be me, pretending to be the manor. But, you know, you can tell real fast whether they're the legit thing or not. And there's only two legit places, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Well, another question I have for you is, I know you did it in California, and I've seen a lot of those videos.
Right.
And what's the difference between the Tennessee show and the California show? I know you have a new one in Tennessee.
Yes. Yeah. So the show in San Diego is much easier than the Tennessee show. The San Diego show was not a psychological show. It was a hands-on, in-your-face, rough you up, you know, that kind of a show.
Yeah.
Out here, again, nobody lays a hand on you. It's just me against the contestant. There's no big rough guys, you know, getting in your face, yelling at you, screaming at you. It's very calm. It's very relaxing. It's just a big psychological game. Can you not let me get into your head? And like I say, you know, if you watch that movie, you'll see all the failures that no one's been able yet to not let that happen. So that's the biggest change. And the challenge is that psychologically, it's much more difficult. That's why I can offer the money out here, which I would not have done in San Diego, because you could get through that show, because you know, eventually people yelling at you and pushing you around and getting in your face, you can deal with that. You can go, okay, great, you're yelling, all right, blah, blah, blah. But the psychological part of it is much more difficult to get over. And that's why I've offered the $20,000, and that it's just much more difficult. It's easier in some ways, but mentally, which is where, you know, the true challenge comes in, it's 1,000 times more difficult.
Yeah, I would rather go through the one in San Diego than the mental one, because yelling and pushing and hitting and all that, that's just going to work.
Exactly. The San Diego show is a piece of cake compared to this. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, the mind, people don't understand that the mind can do such amazing things. We don't have a clue what all it can do. And absolutely. I mean, I've had patients who have had, you know, broken bones that I've talked to. Just spoke to them, and I don't have to give them the high powered pain medicine. I can talk to them a lot of times, and it helps.
Yeah.
They're not hurting anymore.
You know, the big thing we call it out here is it's mind over matter, not mind over matter, mind over matter.
And that make a good t-shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you'll hear that a lot, mind over matter. That's what it is. We try to keep people going as long as they can as well. You know, when they get to that quitting area and when they're ready to tap out, because there is a safe word out here. You know, unlike San Diego, there is a safe phrase here. So once you're ready to go, and they're ready to go sometimes at boot camp, they're ready to go sometimes when they drive up here and they're in their car, it all hits them really hard and heavy. They quit when they're doing the contract. I mean, they quit more often than not before the tour even starts. And that's the amazing thing about it.
Yeah. I just like the onesies. That's a nice touch.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of a Kamey Manor original. It's always been that way. And it's for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, it's for safety, because we need your body protected. We need your arms protected, your legs covered up, your torso covered up. And then you have to wear clothes underneath it as well. So, you know, because it is a rough sport. It is a rough tour, and you can get some cuts and bruises and stuff. So you need to be covered up. And then, secondly, it's just so silly that you're going through this crazy extreme tour, but you're wearing the craziest onesie that you can imagine. It's just kind of fun. It's a fun visual to see.
Yeah, you're going through it dressed as a duck, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's great.
Very cool. Yeah, I've talked to a couple of people that I know that I work with, and you know, I've got this guy, I've got Russ, he's coming to come on the show, and some of them are like, oh, that's amazing, and some of them are, you're gonna stick it to him. No, I'm not. The man's he's doing what he loves to do, and people are letting him, and they're signing their waivers, so they love it too, so leave the man alone.
I mean, people think that I don't know what they think. I guess they think that we just kidnap people off the street and bring them here. It's a huge deal on their part to be selected. They have to go through a huge gamut of stuff and lots of hoops they got to go through. Like we talked about, they got to have a current physical they got to purchase. They got to have a mental evaluation. They got to have background checks, they got to have proof of insurance, they got to meet all the age requirement stuff, they got to go through a screening with our administrators, they got to go through a lot of stuff. So they really got to want this in order to get that. And then even then, they may not be selected to go through. They have to be the right kind of contestant. We don't want somebody who could be triggered easily. The last thing we want to do is hurt somebody mentally or physically. So they've got to be in great shape. Mentally, they got to be strong. We don't want someone that's going to have a problem afterwards. So the goal here is to entertain them and nothing else. And so for all those haters out there that think that we're just yanking people, unsuspecting people off the side of the road, and these folks don't really know what they're getting into, they've been working months and months and months of trying to get in here, and eventually, hopefully, they'll make it. But this is something they really want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is a year round thing. It isn't just Halloween.
Right. It's year round. You got it.
Like, man. And the only thing you charge is just a bag of dog food, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because I have dogs and that crap gets pricey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's always been a bag of dog food. It'll stay that way. And it's just a hobby. It's not a business, you know, which enables me to have more freedom. If I was a business, then I would be regulated more on what I can and cannot do. But being that it's just a hobby and people are volunteering to come through, it's kind of like their friends and family. So they're visiting, you know, one day a week to take this really fun experience. And so that's why nobody can shut us down, because there's nothing to shut down. It's, you know what I mean? People try, there's waivers out there. There's petitions going on trying, you know, with thousands and thousands, but it's not going to happen. People have tried, everybody's tried, but we're not doing anything illegal. So if you're not doing anything illegal, you gotta put your logic cap on and go, well, there must be more to the story. And all those crazy things you hear, there's probably not really the way it is. Because if it was the way the way it was, then clearly I'd be shut down and there'd be all kinds of repercussions. But clearly there never has been. So obviously there's more to the game than what people know.
Well, I think for a lot of people, it's the legend.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he used to pull people's teeth. I wonder if they still do that and stuff like that, you know. And like when where I'm from a small town just out of Augusta, Georgia. I'm not there anymore, but we had a adult shop open in our town. And that was the biggest controversy. Oh, man, it was just horrible. All the churches got together. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Right.
And I went in there one day. I got to see this place. And the most risque thing they had some pasta that was shaped like a penis.
How funny.
That was the most risque thing they had, and everybody was having a fit, but nobody would go in there because, oh, it's an adult shop.
Right.
No, it's a lingerie store. Calm down.
Right. There you go.
It's not like the, you know, cashiers walking around in a thong, nothing. I think she's wearing jogging pants. I'm not sure.
Right. Right. That's funny.
But just wondering and not knowing is half the fun a lot of times.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm real good at what I do. I'm real successful as far as with the contestants. And so it makes people wonder. And it is scary. I'm not going to, you know, and I can back up everything that we say we're going to do. We can do one way or another, whether it be psychologically we can do it or we can do it, you know, hands-on physically. So it is a very challenging tour to go through, and it's not for everybody, but the people that go through, they know very well everything that's going to happen, and they're signing off on that.
Yeah, the one rule that you have that just tickles me to no end, because I know that I would wind up leaving there owing you about 20 grand. It's the no cussing rule.
Right, right. No cussing. Yeah.
Because I use it for punctuation half the time. And if I get scared, I'll say stuff that ain't in the Bible in a heartbeat now.
There you go. There you go. But we have ways of keeping your trap shut if we need to. So if somebody really has a problem cussing, and they actually don't, because I've never had that problem. People come here, they all tell me the same thing. Man, I'm such a cusser and stuff. But they're so into playing by the rules, and they're so into really doing a good job that they really control that. And it's pretty funny. I've never had a problem with that. I've never had a problem with anybody fighting back. Never. In all these years of doing it, no one's ever had a problem with that. So it's pretty funny, actually.
I know my instinct is to fight back.
Right.
And I would have such a problem. I feel like I would anyway.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You'd be okay. Because you'd feel comfortable and understand the game. It's just a big game show. And so you'd get it and you'd just go along for the ride and have a good time. So you'd be okay as well.
Okay. Yeah. I know it's funny, in a normal haunt, people are hitching a heartbeat.
Right.
We had two clown rooms and they were adjoining. And the first one was basically black walls with neon polka dots, all that stuff, and little barrels sitting in there and clown figurines. And we had a guy, he was a senior in high school, and he was 3'8".
Wow.
And they would dress that little bastard up and set him on one of those barrels. And I would walk through there knowing he was sitting there, and he would jump just to get me every time. And it worked every time. But he would get hit about 3 times a night. Now, you know you are terrified when you just punch a midget.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
Sure. Absolutely.
But it's funny, the fears that people have, because when you go to the haunts and you pay attention, the scariest character I ever did, I came in late one evening and the makeup trailer was empty. I called Mike, the guy who ran it, said, "Look, I want to do this character." He said, "Okay." And I was wearing a pair of old sleep pants and slippers, a t-shirt and a robe. And they made me look about 70 years old.
Right.
And I just walked through the parking lot and the lines outside, just stopping and asking people, "Have you seen my daughter?" That's right. All I would say. The staff didn't even know who it was. They wound up getting security to call the cops out there for me.
That's wild.
They thought I had gotten out of one of the nursing homes. And I'm like, "Look, it's me, jackass. Stop."
Right.
That's but I would go in through the little hidey holes in there, 'cause you know, all of them have little exits you can go through to
sure.
quick places. and just get up behind people and just say that. And it was so great. And you wouldn't think a little old man would terrify people.
Right. Sure.
But that was the best character I did out there. He was so simple and just so non-threatening, but he terrified everyone.
That's funny. That's funny. That's funny.
But, and you know, I told you I've listened to some shows because I like listening to shows because I don't like to ask people all the same questions. It happens sometimes because some of these you've answered 1,000 times. But I haven't heard this question asked yet.
Okay.
What scares Russ McCamey?
So the things that scare me are kind of the typical, you know, worldwide fears, I call them. When I first started McCamey Manor, I built it around things that scare me, such as I'm not a big fan of claustrophobia, you know, being in tight, closed-in spaces and spiders and snakes and creepy crawlers. Even though we use all that stuff in the show, I don't have a problem with it then, but do I like cockroaches on my face? No. But do we use that in the show? Absolutely. But it's different during showtime. Heights, I'm not a huge fan of heights, but we have some seriously tall height stunts that are kind of challenging for people if they have fears of heights. And, you know, water, drowning, all the typical stuff, I think. And then we work on all the specialty fears as well. If someone's got something that's unique to them, we'll build that show around that. But so, yeah, just all the typical stuff, I think. Nothing that I can't handle, but stuff that I'd probably rather not do if I had a choice.
I can dig it. Like I say, if I told you, okay, look, I'm scared of Sasquatch. I'm sure there would be a lot of big hairy cats in this thing, wouldn't it?
Right, probably would be.
But, you know, I understand about when it's showtime, you know, putting all that aside, because my sister is terrified of spiders. I could throw one at her and she will have a fit, but she will take that same spider magnify. I mean, if it was 10 times bigger, she would pick it up to throw it on someone else and be fine with it.
Right. Exactly. When it's showtime, it's showtime.
Yep. Definitely.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you, Russ, man, I've had a blast, and you know, you're welcome on here anytime.
Okay.